the reality of the Holy Spirit is something that indeed has been since Pentecost. The coming of the Holy Spirit into our world has ushered a world or an age of, as it were, worldwide grace, where God is at work wherever we are. He is not just in here, he is out there every bit as much. And where the church has to access his Spirit that is spreading out over all the world. By the downpouring of the Holy Spirit upon 120 believers, then a new church was forged. Praise and proclamation then spread out and led to the creation of the church. So the church was indeed, and last week we were thinking of Pentecost, for that was Pentecost Sunday, and heart and soul then were focused on, yes, the great blessing of the Holy Spirit and God's blessing in the church. But I want to say that the heaven and its great blessings are all around us. We are surrounded by millions of messages being broadcast in every place, wherever you are. They're all around us. Can you hear? Can you hear them? They're all over the place. Radio waves, long wave, medium wave, short wave, mobile networks, Wi-Fi, microwaves, all these big waves are whizzing around all over the place. There's not a space without them. But to pick them up, you need a receiver. God is broadcasting. He is broadcasting on all the channels, heaven's great broadcasts. And he is saying his love, his Holy Spirit in every place and in every time. On every channel of the human heart, we can pick up by faith and tune in to the messages of God and receive his love and receive his presence. God is not limited as our human institutions and companies are. He is not like our human transmissions. Imagine God has decided to install voicemail. You begin to pray, and there you are. Thank you for calling my father's house. To get the right answers, please select from the following topics. Press 1 for prayer requests. Press 2 for thanksgiving. Press 3 for complaints. Press 4 for any other inquiries. Can you imagine it? What if God was compelled to use the familiar words? I'm sorry, all our angels are busy helping other sinners right now. However, your prayers are very important to us, and we will get back to you as soon as possible. Stay on the line. The Lord is not limited. The messages and the broadcasts are all around us. That God is on all channels of the human heart, and there is nothing that is unknown to him. We can get through to his throne by tuning in, by faith, by opening our hearts and letting his infinite resources, his heavenly power, come and deal with us, every one of us, at the same time. Not just you and me, not just the wee company here, but throughout the whole world. God is able to deal with us. That is his great infinite power. Pentecost. The first disciples graduated at Pentecost to apostles, the sent out ones. And the Holy Spirit filled them that day and made them the spearhead of his mission on earth. The Holy Spirit came in power to transform these shaky first witnesses. He transformed them into an unstoppable movement for spiritual change and transformation. Peter's great sermon at Pentecost challenged people to let God in to change their life by repenting and believing. That's what Peter told them to do. Repent and believe. Receive the Holy Spirit. Nothing less than the whole glory of God can come into our lives. We don't just get a wee bit of God. We get God when we open our life. Can we take him? Nothing less than the glory of the Holy Spirit in your life. And you know, 3,000 people, not in addition to the 120, believed and responded to that message to repent and to believe. They joined the fellowship of the believing ones and they learned to grow in a life of enthusiastic discipleship. They were the church. Now we have the church here this morning at Hamilton Street. We've all come to church this morning, and by that we mean St. John's building here at the corner of Hamilton Street. The word church is Old English word, and it means it's from from the Greek Kyriake, belonging to the Lord. And we get the word kirk, which is a direct one from that same thing. We are belonging to the Lord. However, in the first century, there were very few buildings. The church buildings were non-existent. And they wouldn't emerge until the 3rd century AD. The usual word for church in the New Testament is not, therefore, what we would call the kirk, the building. It is indeed another word called ecclesia, which means the company, called out, called to worship. People called to serve him, the assembly of people gathering in his name. Paul writes, for instance, when you look at the letters, Corinthians, the church of Jesus Christ in Corinth, the company, the ecclesia in Corinth. And all to imagine, we imagine the church will crumble if the building crumbles. The church is wherever God's people are praising. We've just sung that. And wherever we're serving, and wherever we're following, and wherever we're witnessing. Even the word Christian emerged. It started off as a sneering comment. Oh, there's the Christianoi, the Christian people. And it was a sneer, because the first words used for believers were indeed the followers of the way. The way was the one that they entitled themselves. But the word Christianoi, the nickname, stuck. And these words illustrate there's a process of change going on. And God loves to use things that happen for his purpose and his glory. It started out as a sneer. And now the word Christian is a very wonderful thing when we think of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if the Holy Spirit worked on the believers, meeting as they met together to share and tell the story of the risen Lord. The process of church development has not stopped, for society around about us is changing rapidly and needs to know that God is still on the throne and God is still guiding his people and the Holy Spirit is around it. But people need to know that. People don't know. And so we seek to rearrange our Christian witness in Carluke at this time. Let's look at the features of this dynamic community and ask, what made their witness so effective to transform? What kind of values did they have that made them impacted on the pagan society? As we mark these vital signs of the life that fired the early church and sent them out on their worldwide mission, then surely we too can tap into the same Pentecostal power. For God's presence that came long ago at Pentecost has never left. It's the same Holy Spirit then and now that we can experience. And so, what is it, first of all? Sharing a faith. A message, verse 46. They listened to the central core of the apostles' teaching. What Jesus said, what he did, how he lived, how he died, how he rose. That was the early message. what the Old Testament promised and what Christ indeed fulfilled, the person of Jesus as Messiah and his saving work accepted by the Lord. They didn't have Old Testament Bibles to read, for Bibles were very, very precious, and they had to be written out by hand. And they didn't have New Testament scriptures. Why not? It hadn't been written. Yes, that's right. It would take another 30 years before the New Testament process of writing would begin. And so how did they know? Well, they would ask the people who did meet with Jesus, what did he say? And when they talked to the children, what did he say to the children? And so on. And they would say, and they would go over the stories. It was indeed a telling and a sharing of the faith, actively, verbally, by communication, by a conversation. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They were all in the learning mode. They were the disciples, and the apostles were the teachers. How do we devote ourselves week by week to this great teaching of the Lord? Yes, we can come week by week and hear him in this worship on Sunday. We can also meet midweek and study his word at house groups, and we do have house groups. We can read our Bibles and pray it in our own homes, because the Bible is probably the most accessible kind of book that we have. And yes, do you daily read it? Do you make time to read his word? Daily time for prayer. Do you know some of the resources that are offered? Scripture Union, Daily Bread, Daily Light, Encounter with God, Every Day with Jesus. All these are aids that can sometimes help us in understanding. So we have share of faith. Secondly, sharing fellowship. The Greek word is koinonia, and it means just being together and opening up to one another and caring and responding to one another. The actual place where they met was not significant, but the coming together to strengthen the common life was. They needed to know their faith. They needed to share their faith. They needed to remind themselves of what they were doing. So where did the believers meet? These 3,100, they couldn't. Can you imagine Carluke having a 3,000 people responding? Where would you put them all? Well, the answer was that they had the Jewish temple courts. Now, the courtyard was a kind of pillared courtyard, open. It wasn't a building. It was an open courtyard. And every day, the apostles made themselves available from the Pentecost time. That was only for a few weeks, because people were still at the feast of Pentecost. And later on, some of these would go away back to their own homes. And they would, so the church would be wherever they went back. The servants would slip away from their work, and they didn't come on just the one day. Indeed, the first day of the week emerged as the day of resurrection and the day when we remembered the Lord's teachings. It was not Sunday at 11, mind you. The first day was an ordinary working day at that time. Servants would slip away after work, after the end, and without the Sabbath restrictions. And so they broke bread together, verse 42. They would get to know the apostles, and they would ask them questions about what Jesus said. Well, what did he mean by this? And how could they, what sort of life would they be using? So the common journey was a fellowship journey, and they had, the second area was their homes. They went around there and joined and had a meal, sharing meals at their home. So they're a twin focus. The larger gathering in the temple court, the smaller gathering around the table with meals. Was it a communion? Well, it was both an ordinary meal and a communion often. The Christians talked about a love feast, an agape, where people brought food, a kind of potluck supper, and everyone shared. It was a journey of belonging and caring and sharing for one another. And that brings us to the third point of sharing possessions. The verses 44 and 45, here is the faith made practical. Some of them would be slaves and they owned nothing. Some would be richer. And those who had, at that time, had wealth, put it into a common purse. Those who had possessions, some sold them and added to that common purse. And those who had rooms made them available for the church gatherings. And so that was the message of transforming people and the power of Jesus and calling upon God's Spirit, making them into kind people, patient people, generous people, offering their services. Sometimes people look at the church members and they say, you see these folk that go to St. John's Church, some of them are a bit crabby and all the rest of it. You know, people can talk about it. I can remember when talking about somebody in Mary Hill where I was that time, and they talked about it. They just, you know, some of the folk that go to your church, and I said, do you see that crabby guy? You should have seen him 10 years ago. He was much worse. The Lord's working on him. He's not finished. You see, it's a process, and it's a transforming process. And in this time, the generous Jerusalem church eventually would become a very poor church. And Paul they became so poor after the persecutions that he had to gather together at Corinth and other places a collection for them. And so the generosity, those who were left in Jerusalem needed the organized collections. And from the start, however, they were most generous, sharing possessions. And lastly, we'd say one of the marks of this was experiencing the power of the living God. Verses 43 and 47 say that they prayed, they opened their heart, their sense of awe was upon them. They felt that God was near, right in their midst. God able to meet evil, able to meet trouble, able to meet illness. And they invoked the Spirit. And as they invoked him and called upon him, they felt him mightily in their midst, a sense of awe hushing them into silence. So could they say, he's here. We may arrange meetings, but only God can start a revival called Pentecost. From time to and again, we've had times of revival in Scotland, the Reformation, the Cambuslang revival, the Kilsyth revival, the Lewis revival. Scotland has been blessed with many times where local church leaders were more astonished than anything else. George Whitfield wrote about Cambuslang. He said, we have seen thousands bathe in tears, some at the same time wringing their hands and almost swooning and crying out and mourning for the Saviour that they pierced. During these gatherings, men and women trembled and wept and fell down. And then they were lifted to a state of wonderful rapture, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Yes, God in our midst. We perhaps need to remember that God is great. And that God is at work. As it were, Carluke needs to know, and we almost need to put warning notices outside. Warning, coming into this building might change your life. Men at work here, women at work here, the Holy Spirit at work here. And so, indeed, what is this great experience? It is the Holy Spirit filling us. It is indeed the Holy Spirit changing us, transforming us into his people, gradually at work in him. And we need that presence today. Ever mindful that our great Creator and his glorious presence will come when we open doors. Jesus said, I am standing at the door knocking. If anyone comes, opens the door, I will come in. And so God is not unwilling to try and help us and to be with us at every stage in our life, no matter what we're going through, joy or sorrow. And then indeed, he, the Spirit, will not only transform us, he will send us out, he will propel us, he will send us out into the world and say, light, you go and pass on what you've learned. You know that he is able to guide. Tell people, your neighbors, the thing that he guides. Send them out rejoicing in him. And the heavenly wavelengths of the Holy Spirit will be going out all over the place as we invoke him into our calling and into our service and into our worship and into our work and wherever we are and into our homes. The heavenly Spirit wavelengths are all around you. What we say is, open your doors. Don't just keep them in the hallway. Open every door and cupboard in your life and let the Holy Spirit fill them, fill you. That will be a blessing. Amen. Thanks be to God for his word to us all.